Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome yet again to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, into our house, into our time to hear the message God has given us. And praise that we're all here. Our scripture lesson today for the sermon titled Victory of Illusion comes from Matthew 27, verses 62 through 66. The city had a great convention hall. And in the convention hall, they hosted all sorts of things for people to come and do what they do at conventions in large groups. And in this particular time, the convention hall was hosting a gathering of atheists for their time. And reporters were milling about outside the convention hall where the atheists were gathered, and they took notice of a young boy selling puppies. Called them atheist puppies. And so time went on and the convention ended. And a few weeks later, a month later or so, the same convention hall hosted a gathering of Christians. The Christians were going to come together and celebrate. And the reporters were outside milling about looking for a story when one of the reporters that had been there for the atheist convention took note that the same little boy was there selling the same puppies, only he said, Christian puppies for sale. And it intrigued the reporter. He walked over to the boy. He said, last month, you were selling these same puppies at the atheist convention, calling them atheist puppies. Now you're here with the same puppies at the Christian convention, selling them, calling them Christian puppies. What's the difference? The little boy looked at him and said, well, their eyes are open now. Yeah. Matthew 27, verse 62 for the sermon titled Victory of Illusion. The next day, one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are here. We ask, Father, that you bless us and fill us up with this word. This is not mine. These thoughts come from you. And they're for all of us, Father, to treasure and save up and use as a shield in the week to come. Strengthen us as we walk with Jesus, your Son. In his name we pray. And all of his children said, amen. Before we start, we have a court recorder in this church. A stenographer. Is that how you say it? Stenographer. We have someone that records in this church, and they keep track of when I used what scripture, and I find great delight in it. And I'm going to assume that this scripture hasn't been used, has it, Peggy?
No.
Not in this short break. And I love that because it tells me the truth is the Bible. All the scriptures God breathed, all of them are there, and all of them are truth. And yet there are those that still set out to live in the victory of illusion. The donkey told the tiger, the grass is blue. The tiger replied, no, the grass is green. And they discussed it and it became heated and they fought with each other and they argued and they decided they would submit it to arbitration. So they approached the lion, the king of the jungle. And as they approached the lion on his throne, the donkey started screaming, Your Highness, isn't it true that the grass is blue? And the mighty king lion looked down from his throne at the pair of them and said, if you believe it is true, the grass is blue. The donkey rushed forward and continued, the tiger disagrees with me. He argues with me, contradicts me, annoys with me. Please punish him. The king declared, the tiger will be punished with 3 days of silence. The donkey jumped up with joy and went on his way content and repeating, the grass is blue, the grass is blue, the grass is blue, the grass is blue. The tiger turned to the lion and said, Your Majesty, my king, why have you punished me? After all, the grass is green. The lion looked down at him with love in his eyes and said, You've known and seen the grass is green. The tiger asked, Well, why do you punish me? The lion replied, The question, this has nothing to do with the question of whether the grass is blue or green. The punishment is because it is degrading for a brave, intelligent creature like yourself, like you, to waste time arguing with such a foolish, foolish creature. And on top of that, you came and bothered me with that question just to validate something you already knew was true. The biggest waste of time is arguing with the fool and the fanatic who doesn't care about truth or reality, but only the victory of his beliefs and illusions. Never waste time on discussions that make no sense. There are people who, for all the evidence presented to them, do not have the ability to understand or care to believe. Others are blinded by ego, hatred, and resentment. And the only thing they want is to be right even when they aren't. When ignorance screams, intelligence moves on. Ignorance lives in the victory of illusion. I have a serious problem, and I know it. I judge people. I do. And I know what the book says here. The book says don't do it. Don't do it, Paul. Stop it. Whatever you judge with will be put upon you. And I get lost in it. I get incensed quickly. I take a look at all those who proclaim Jesus and then say and do things that make me think otherwise. And then I really get wound up over those people that claim it's fictitious, that religion is stupid, that those who are Christians are the most worthless, intolerant, hateful people on the face of the planet. And I judge them and I become incensed. And I forget what Jesus said. Stop it. That's not for you to do. Turn your cheek away from that. I'll take care of this. And there is no end on this planet to whom I can argue with. And you may or may not have noticed this about me, but I'm slightly confrontational at times. On occasion, I might like to debate or argue with you. I know you find that hard to believe. But there are atheists that I know, personally know. There are those out there who say Christianity is not real and believe in historical figures that have died. Do you know that there is a growing, not claim, a growing movement of people in this country, in this world, who believe the earth is still flat? You think I'm kidding. They are serious about it. But the ones that really grind me are those who say there are no hell, there is no hell, and that our loving God would never ever send people away to it. I will waste time arguing and fighting with those who absolutely want to live in the world of the victory of illusion. Illusion, a thing that is or likely to be wrongly perceived or interpreted by the senses, a deceptive appearance or impression, a false idea or belief. That is the victory of illusion. Now, we have fun with them, don't we? There's a museum down in D.C., and I reckon I need to go to it, called the Museum of Illusions. And they say you walk in there, and there's things like you walk down a hallway, and the hallway gets smaller, and it makes you think you've gotten taller, and they have mirrors that do weird things. And it's all based on all the different books and stuff, Allison Through the Looking Glass, which is the actual title of that book, or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or the greatest movie to a lot of people, although I only live for one part of that movie, and that's The Wizard of Oz. I just love it when they finally get to the Emerald City the first time, and the big giant head says, "Fear me!" I want one of them in my house. I want one of them curtains in my house where I can project me with big, you know, big top hat and a big thing. And when my wife and children come to me and they see me comfortable in my easy chair, I want to pull a lever and smoke and fire come up and go, "Fear me!" Yeah, that'll happen. In our world, we love the world of illusion. We love a magic trick. When I was younger, I decided I wanted to be a magician. There was a guy at my church when we was growing up, at Dad's church, that pulled a quarter out of my ear every Sunday. Now, I was 5, 6, 7 years old, and I've told you 100 times, sometimes I'm about as sharp as a marble. And so as a young kid, I would go home and smack myself on the head trying to get another quarter to come out. And every Sunday, I'd walk in and he'd go, "Young Leatherman." And he'd, boop, and he'd pull that quarter out of my ear and he'd put it in my hand. And I'm like, "Well, how do you do that?" And so he bought me a magic trick, the disappearing ball and the fake wand where you would let go of it and you'd go abracadabra and the thing would stick. And I spent hours and hours and hours reading the instructions and playing with that set, and I set up to do a magic trick, and every single one of them failed. And so I said, "Well, I'll become a preacher because I know later on in life the only thing I'll be good at making disappear is fried chicken." We laugh, and yet we live in a world that is really not that different from these scriptures all these years ago. We live in a world surrounded by illusion. The illusion of this making us better. The illusion of having that makes us greater. The illusion of those around us who look at a Christian and cannot fathom this understanding we have of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it makes me want to argue. And then I realize, why? We'll go back to the scripture. It starts off the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees. We'll stop right there. The Pharisees were the masters of the victory of illusion. They had gotten a hold of everything from day one and began to bend it and work it to their own will. And the chief priests of the law at that time, not the chief priests of God, not the chief priests of his word, the chief priests of the law, the Pharisees, the keepers, the teachers of the law, had all this power, and yet we read where they are claiming that they are not the ones that are deceiving, but that Jesus Christ would be. They went to Pilate, the Roman authority, and they said, "Look, he went around telling everybody he was going to raise himself up in 3 days." And they were so afraid that they built this great illusion that it was going to happen, but it was not going to happen. That he was a liar, a deceiver. And that what he was going to do was going to cause more trouble for them than what had started out. And let me tell you about the biggest illusion in those scriptures right there. They say this to Pilate, "Sir, we need your help. You're the Roman authority. You've got all these people working for you. You've got big men, strong. Let's go seal that tomb up and make sure that his believers don't steal the body and go around saying he rose from the dead." Pilate, I laugh every time I read that line in that scripture. Take a guard. Let's do it as Pilate would be, sitting in his chair. Take a guard. Pilate answered, "Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." And so they went. They made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. You know what a seal was? Pilate pulled off his signet ring, and they went down there, and they poured wax on this big rock, and they punched the ring into it. Boom! That sealed the rock from moving. Is that the funniest thing you've ever heard of? Wax is going to hold the rock back. If that ain't the victory of illusion, Pilate thinks he is so great that nobody would dare go down there and break the seal. And people to this day maintain that's exactly how it happened. That Jesus went into the tomb, the great man, not the Son of God, just a really good guy, went into the tomb and died, and that's where he was. Well, where's the bones at? Well, you know, we can't find them. Well, why not? Well, they turned to dust. Well, what do you mean they turned to dust? There was a rock. The rock had a seal on it. The seal was made of wax. We all know that you can't break wax. After all, how many times do you have to chew one of them little wax Coke bottles until you get all the Coke out of it? And then you're still chewing. So you can't break the wax on a rock, can you? They can't answer. And what happened to the Pharisees? In AD 70, when the second temple was destroyed, they lost their power. They had no place to point to. We have to be careful sometimes. We have to make sure that we're paying attention to things, and that when people around us are telling us truth, the people that are not listening are like the professional golfer Tommy Bolt playing in Los Angeles and had a caddy who had a reputation that he couldn't keep his mouth shut during the game. Chatter, chat, 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 chat. Before they teed off, Bolt turned to him and said, "Don't you say a word to me. I am the golfer. I know everything. You are merely here to hand me clubs when I tell you to. You just answer yes or no when I ask you something." During the round, Bolt found a ball next to a tree where he had to hit it under a branch, over a lake, and onto the green. So he got down on his knees and he laid down and he looked at the ball and he looked through the grass and he looked around and he got back up. "What do you think?" he asked the caddy. "Five iron?" "No, Mr. Bolt," the caddy said. "What do you mean, not a five iron? I'm the professional golfer. I'm telling you right now, yes or no questions." And he yanked it out and he goes, "Watch this shot." And he backed up for a minute. And the caddy rolled his eyes and said, "No, Mr. Bolt." The bolt hit the ball and it whistled through the trees and over the lake and bounced along there and stopped 2 feet from the hole. Confident, he turned around and slammed his club back in the bag and looked at the caddy and said, "Now, what do you think about that? You can talk now." The caddy looked at him and said, "Mr. Bolt, that wasn't your ball." The victory of illusion. I read these things about people that say things and they live through it. And it makes my head hurt. Because we know that there is a truth. There is truth. There is only a truth that cannot be blemished, cannot be taken away. A stubborn disputer one time seemed unconvinced, and President Lincoln was arguing with him. And Lincoln said, "Well, let's see. How many legs does a cow have?" "Four." "Four, of course." "That's right," said Lincoln. "Now you suppose the cow's tail, you call it a leg, how many legs would the cow have?" "Well, five, of course," the argumentative person said to President Lincoln. "Now you see, that's where you're wrong. Calling a cow's tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. Calling something an untruth doesn't necessarily make it an untruth. Calling something a truth does not make it a truth. There are certain truths that I know that will never change. If I speed, eventually I'll get caught. If I go down to the shop to work, and I tell my family I'm going down to the shop to work today, and they look at me and they go, "What?" Because I'm dressed in a tank top and shorts, and there I would ever wear them flip-flops. And I'm going down to the shop and working them. And in a half an hour, I come back with a big fat toe because I dropped a hammer on it. The truth is, I wasn't wearing shoes. The truth is, the hammer dropped on my toe to remind me, regardless of what I think, there is truth. But then there's the victory of illusion. So many people don't want to hear the truth. Because sometimes it's heavy, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes they just don't want to do it. But we do know a truth. And our truth is never ending. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. One at the head, the other at the foot, and they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them the things that he had said to her. He lives. Our Savior walked this earth as a man, saved people, healed people, touched people, and then as part of the Father's will, against all the victory of illusion, climbed up on a wooden, nasty tree and died to save us. And 3 days later, rose up from that grave and put death to its final end and taught us that the victory of illusion is defeated by the victory of truth. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, lives. And that is the story we need to cling to, always have in our heart when everything goes against us, and tell it happily, loudly, proudly. Our Savior lives. Amen. Let us pray. Father, regardless of how we try to see things, there is a truth. When the world is like the old professor behind the curtain there, pulling the levers and making the smoke and fire, and little Toto runs over and exposes it as the victory of illusion, we know that there is a truth, and that truth is your Son, Father. Remind our hearts, strengthen our hearts, remind us to love those who do not have that understanding yet. And if it means we need to be silent for 3 days, then so be it. We have been given a great gift. We have been given a great truth. Let us show it, talk of it, and teach it. Strengthen us through this, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen.